You know, I told the 8 o'clock, I pulled out this little, I have this little cheat sheet I always have in my hand, just, you know, just in case I don't have enough coffee or something, which is always the case at the 8 o'clock. And I pulled this out this morning, I looked at the top and I said, job or divorce? What was I preaching on again? Job, right. Right, job or divorce. It's okay, Sweetie. It's all right, it's going to be fine. I was looking at the lectionary, and I looked at the book of Job, and I thought, oh, Job, that's a little difficult. Let's look at the gospel. Oh, it's about divorce. Okay, well, I figure I'm only starting here because I want to say, I actually do want to talk about Job, and I know it's a difficult thing, but we're going to be reading Job for about a month. So in a couple of weeks, when I'm back here again, I will talk about Job a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and talk about divorce. Gospel of Mark today, in this reading, continuation, really, of last week's. These two readings are right next to each other. And I want to mention that because Ken Britt was here last week, and she preached on Esther. She gets Esther, I get Job. Anyway, it's okay. But the point is that, that reading you may not remember as well because it wasn't preached on. In Mark last week, Jesus is also giving us some difficult things. You know, he says, if the kingdom of God, if your hand is in the way, your arm is in the way, if your arm is in the way, cut them off. If your eye is in the way of the kingdom of God, tear that out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God without these things than not to get in at all. And I don't want to preach on that one exactly. And he also says, by the way, that if you get in the way of the little ones, you have a problem. Better to be cast into the ocean with a millstone around your neck than to get into the way of the little ones. So I'm just pointing this out because there's a parallel, I think, between last week, which is right next to this week's reading, if you actually look in the Bible and read them. And the mention of the little ones and the children here, and the difficult things about having your limbs torn off and all this, and adultery, which are also difficult, and divorce, which is difficult, are parallel, I think. So I want to keep that in mind. Because last week when Jesus says things about tearing off arms and limbs, he's not really saying literally that we should be, you know, cutting things off of ourselves. But that it's that important. That what we're talking about here is as important as your limbs and your eyes and all this stuff. This is not a casual conversation. This is something we really have to pay attention to. So today, like so many of these stories, right, about Jesus, the Pharisees have decided they're going to make trouble for him. And they do this quite a number of times. They come up and they try to figure out a question, which is either they think impossible to answer, or it's a question that if either way you answer it, yes or no, you're going to be in trouble with about half the people that are listening, right? And so, you know, a famous one, for instance, is, you know, do you pay your taxes to Caesar or not? Well, you know, say one, and everyone's going to be mad. You say the other, you get arrested, great. This time, they say, well, is divorce permitted or not? And this was a problem, a controversy in their society, as it has been ever since, right? Ever since. And is today. And Jesus treats it just like he so often does. He shoots right back at them and says, well, what does Moses say about it? Tell me what's going on. And the Pharisees, who know all about the law, say, well, Moses said that, and by the way, the question was, can a man divorce his wife, right? That's important, too. It's not, can anyone get divorced from anyone? Can a man get divorced from his wife? He says, well, you know, you write out a certificate and you hand it to her and you're divorced. Right, you're free to go marry somebody else now. That's what Moses said. And Jesus says, well, Moses wrote that commandment for you because of your heartless heart. And then he goes on and answers them, not by talking about divorce at all, but by talking about what marriage is. So he takes the whole discussion and he kind of flips it right over. He does that pretty much every time they try to do this, which is why they never seem to be able to win these arguments. Now, I want to stop right there for a second, because the one really important thing that I think Christians down through the centuries, maybe all of us even today, are guilty of from time to time, is we see one of these stories and we're like, yeah, Jesus, go get him. Get those Pharisees, and then, you know, we know Jesus is going to win this argument, right? But what we forget when we put that distance between us and them is that these episodes aren't in the gospel to tell you how bad the Pharisees are and how good all of us have been ever since. The point is that there's a lot of Pharisee in all of us, whether we like to admit it or not. And what I mean by that is that the Pharisees, you know, they're not bad people. I mean, by everyday standards, you know, walking on the street, the Pharisees are the people you want to have around you. I mean, they're the ones that are reading the law and trying to figure out what it is exactly that God wants. And so they're trying to figure out what the rules are. You know? And so they're always asking Jesus these rule questions, these legal questions. Now, I'm really going to apologize to the lawyers. I know there's at least one in the room looking up behind me now. Watch it for me, would you? The lawyer, I'm not really, I have nothing against lawyers, but I'm going to talk about the whole idea of legalism a little bit, because the Pharisees are all about trying to figure out what the law is that gets us right with God. You know, if you do A, B, and C, it's going to be okay, right? But it's a spiritual problem, and it's a spiritual problem that was found then, and it's found all through Christianity, through its history, and even today, and in all religions, as far as I understand, there's this tendency, right, to get to a point where instead of talking about spiritual truth of some kind or experience, you're talking about what it is I'm supposed to do exactly. And that always seems to resolve itself down to what's the minimum line I need to get to be okay with God? Right? What's the minimum line? If I get right here, okay, then I can stop. I'm done. And Jesus, and later Paul too, but Jesus in the Gospels is saying, that's not the point. That's not the point at all. And that's what his whole conflict with the Pharisees is all about. It's like, you're not trying to figure out like what the minimum requirements are. You're trying to understand that God loves you and the world so much that you need to take that love, you need to take that will into yourself and transform yourself and contribute to transforming the world. It's a much bigger project than just kind of a minimum standard of behavior. And that's why it's always difficult, because Jesus isn't saying, you know, throw out the Ten Commandments or don't be a good person, that's not important. There have been people who have tried to interpret it that way too. No. The point though is not to think that just by getting to this minimum legal standard that you're going to be okay. That's not the issue. And so, when in the story the Pharisees say to Jesus, is it okay to divorce her? Like I say, Jesus says, well, tell me the law, they tell him. He says, the law is only like that because of your hardness of heart. Another thing, hardness of heart is an interesting thing, because in Hebrew tradition, right, we translate that means your feelings aren't there, right? And that's present in their meaning too, but they also believe that the heart was where intelligence was. So when you talk about hardness of heart, you're not just talking about you're not feeling, it's also saying you're stupid. Okay? Like Pharaoh hardened his heart. It's not just that Pharaoh didn't feel for the Israelites. The book of Exodus basically says Pharaoh is stupid. Okay. So, your hardness of heart, your lack of understanding, your lack of feeling and understanding led to this law being made so that you could get around and operate in the world. But you need to understand what marriage is really about. So he talks about this, two becoming one flesh. And what he's what he's saying is, this isn't just a legal arrangement. This isn't just something, you know, you're writing on a piece of paper and passing it over, like, okay, you can leave the house now, take the kids, please. This is something much more important than that. This is something you need to take seriously. And it's interesting, too, that he starts applying it not just to what a man can do to his wife, but a wife and a husband to each other. It's making it a much bigger, much more important thing. Not just a legal arrangement, but something much deeper. And so, after that, he goes into the house with the disciples, and they immediately become Pharisees themselves, and they turn right around and start saying, "So, Jesus, we didn't understand. Can we get divorced?" What was the answer to that? So I kind of think he's getting a little exasperated when he says, "Look, if you get divorced and married to someone else, that's adultery. And if your wife gets divorced and married to someone else, that's adultery. How's that?" Now, there's been no end to the controversy that's brought about, of course. And we've been arguing about it ever since, or struggling with it ever since. Even the Gospels don't entirely agree among themselves, because there's another one in Matthew, for instance. Jesus says, well, it's adultery unless the other person committed adultery, in which case it's okay. That's not clear. But I think it's not clear because, again, this isn't about legalism. This isn't about Jesus isn't taking that law off the wall and putting another one up the wall in its place. He's saying, no, you have to look at this in a different way. And it was as shocking to the disciples and to the Pharisees that Jesus was saying, you can't have divorce at all, as it would be in some ways to us. But I think it's kind of like getting your limbs torn off or your eyes torn out in the gospel last week. Jesus is trying to impress on them, this is something very, very important. It's not just, I'm not just going to sit here and write out a set of 10 rules and hand them to you, and then you can just follow them and be okay. You have to get to something much deeper, much more faithful than that. You have to understand what it really means to be committed to someone. And commitment is, in the end, what marriage is about. Now, different churches, different Christianity at different times, this church at different times in its history, have dealt with this question in many different ways. The Roman Catholics, for instance, are famous for saying you can't ever get divorced, but there is this thing called annulment. So they have this thing where they you know, you go through this legal process, and they say, well, you were never married in the first place, so okay, it's done. I'm not going to comment on that more than that, but we in the Episcopal Church have a way of dealing with it. You know, if a divorced person wants to remarry, we kind of interview them, and we have, there's some specific questions that we ask, and then we kind of pass it on to the bishop and kind of, you know, stamps approval. And basically it means we want to know that you've taken it seriously. We want to know that you really think that, and you have attempted to understand what went wrong, and you understand that we're not totally happy about divorce, but we understand that in the sinful world there's human weakness and whatnot. I don't believe, saying for myself, that people are supposed to stay in marriages that no longer exist, where there's emotional or particularly physical violence or any of the awful things that people can do to each other. It's not good, but this is what we have to recognize. Human life is like this sometimes. We have to make allowances for God's forgiveness and redemption and renewal. That's all I'm going to say about that. My point is, though, that it is important. And in our culture, we've gone very far the other way, I think, and made marriage and all of our relationships into something far less meaningful, disposable, even, too often. And in the end, what Jesus is saying here, and so often in the gospel, is just this. You need to recognize that God's love is being poured onto you that it's, you're swimming in grace. And you need to respond to that. But that love coming to you, you reflect out into the world and to each and every person that you meet. Particularly, I suppose, people you marry. But it applies to everything else, to husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, brothers, sisters, friendship, parents, children. Above all else, we're not to use other people as objects of our own for our own uses. We are to see other people as also beloved of God, and to reflect that love in our interactions with each other. It's important. It's not just a bunch of throwaway relationships that work for us today and not tomorrow. That's not the way we're meant to live. We're meant to know that it's important. And so at the end of the gospel, and if you kind of read it really quickly, it seems almost like he's moved on to another story, but he hasn't really. All these children are coming into the room, and the disciples are saying, get these children, stay back, come on, we're having this adult conversation with Jesus here. And Jesus says, no, bring, let them come in, stop that, let them come to me. And the children come, and he embraces them, and he blesses them. And he says to the disciples, unless you come to the kingdom of God just like one of these, you're not going to make it. And there's a point here. Because up to this point, not just in this reading today, but even in the reading last week, everyone who's come to Jesus has come at him with like they're a bunch of lawyers. Well, not in a bad way, not in a good way. Oh, never mind. They're coming at them with these lines, these legal questions, these legalisms like, Jesus, can we do this? No, can we do this? How about this? And he says, no, look at these children. They're just coming. They're just coming and embracing and loving with openness. And I don't think that it means that we're supposed to act naively. I don't think it means that we're supposed to act as if we have no experience. Quite the opposite. I think we're supposed to use and cultivate our experience and grow into our faith. But in this sense, just as a child walks up and will say, hi, and mean nothing more than just hi, I'm glad to see you, just in that way, simple and open, that's the way that we approach God. That's the way we enter the kingdom. To be open and guileless, without legalism, twistedness, sarcasm, any of those so-called adult characteristics. Come just as we are and see the love of God in front of us and take it into us and give it back to the world and everyone we encounter with it. And that's what Jesus is saying. God loves.